World Mental Health Day falls on the 10th of October this year, and the chosen theme is the pastoral care of older people. It presents us with the opportunity to reflect on the role that the Catholic community can play in supporting not just people experiencing mental distress, but also their families and carers. In this podcast series, we talk to mental health professionals with years of experience in their chosen field. We're joined by Jo Bird, a mental health nurse from Nuneaton who runs a dynamic parish project. She starts by giving us just a little bit of background on her work.
I qualified as a mental health nurse back in 2001, so that's 12 years of qualified experience as a mental health nurse. I came into nursing because of being from a family of nurses. So my mum's a mental health nurse, and I decided quite early on to follow in her footsteps. So I'd read lots of journals that she'd left lying about and the such, and that developed a really keen interest in mental illness for me. In terms of that and the connection of setting up the project within my parish, I was sort of at Mass one day listening to the gospel reading, and it was the reading about the talents and how to use your talents. And I considered the talents that I have or don't have and thought about the way or the best way in which I could contribute towards my parish community. We'd recognised that there was a lack of mental health support within the parish and within the deanery, in fact, and it's something that my parish priest had spoken to me about on several occasions previously. So we got in touch with the Catholic Bishops' Conference, who very kindly gave us some funding from the funding that they had available at the time, and we were able to set up the St. Dymphna befriending group. So originally we started off in the Nuneaton Parish of Our Ladies, and incrementally we offered that out and so opened up our doors to other local parishes within the Rugby Deanery. We support people with varying difficulties. So we have people with dementia, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, phobias, anxiety, obsessions, but we also support carers as well. So we have a wide range of those that we work with, and our age range runs from, I think our youngest member is 13 and our eldest member is in her 80s. So we cover a wide variety of difficulties and come across a number of different people. The group supports anybody with any sort of mental illness or mental distress that requires our support. We'd never turn anybody away. As I've already said, we also support carers across the Rugby Deanery. Individual work we do with people varies, so depending upon their need. So we have a number of people who have dementia and perhaps are in nursing homes. And because of, you know, health and safety issues and safeguarding issues, we're not able to take them out, for example. But what we will do is visit them and pray with them or just be company for them, because quite often they can feel quite isolated within their situation. On the other hand, we have people who are out in the community who also might feel quite isolated and lonely because of their experiences. So perhaps we'll take them out for coffee, or we'll get them involved in a gardening allotment that we have connections with, or take them shopping, things like that, just to improve their situation within the community and help them to feel more embraced and included with things that are going on.
Looking at the parish project, tell me a little bit about how you can educate, if you like, or at least make people feel a bit more at ease that may find it a little bit alarming, depending on the type of behaviour. If they see somebody suffering nearby with them, that they don't quite understand what's going on. How do you deal with that situation?
Well, initially when we set up the project, one of the first things that we did was to offer educational sessions. So over a course of evenings, it was an open invitation for anybody within the parish to come along to learn a bit more about the issues around mental illness and mental distress and how we are able to support people more effectively that might be suffering from such problems. We had a really good response from that, actually, from our parish. I think we had approximately 30 people who I'd never met before within the parish who came to it and wanted to learn more and wanted to contribute. That was a really good starting point. And is something that we aim to repeat, because obviously now that 30 have got that information, they might speak to their friends about the evening who, you know, may recommend it. And that's going to be more people that we can educate and start breaking down those barriers and breaking down the stigma that is attached still with mental illness. Another thing that I think that we can do is in terms of role modelling. So if we can show people that actually what you should be doing is treating people with respect and kindness, regardless of what difficulties that they have. That does rub off on people. If people are seeing that and experiencing that, then they can get an idea of how to cope with dealing with somebody that may have mental health difficulties as well.
Now, don't want to get ahead of myself here, but it sounds like what you've produced there by way of a model is something that could be transferred almost to every parish in England and Wales. And I would have thought with the prevalence of mental ill health that it wouldn't be such a bad thing, would it?
No, absolutely, absolutely. The group was actually relatively easy to set up. Once we had the funding in place, which allowed us to buy in training for volunteers, we did things like the educational evenings, which were run by myself and my friend who's a mental health therapist. So that didn't actually cost us anything. And then we put out a call for people to volunteer for the group, had a really good response from the parish with that. And once had the volunteers in place, we were able to commence criminal records checking, which all of our volunteers are subject to. We were able to make a start with writing our safeguarding policy, with our constitution for the group. And those things were the things that really did take time in, you know, setting those foundations to ensure that the group would be maintained and would be sustainable in the future. Once those things were done, we were able to open up our doors and invite members in to be supported by our volunteers. And we did that, as I've said previously, through a very gradual process. So initially, we offered that to people within the local parish of Our Ladies. And after a period of being sustained within that and realising that we were able to cope and we did have capacity to support more people, we then extended that to the other local parishes within the Rugby Deanery. Following that, after another period of feeling stable and making sure that we had capacity, we then opened up our doors again and we sent a sort of letter shot round to local mental health teams, local GP practices, local homeless shelters, things like that, things where we know that people with mental health difficulties would have a lot of contact with, to try and increase the amount of people that we could support and that would get in touch with us. So it was a very gradual process, but something that took time because of the logistics of setting up the policies and, you know, those things that take time. But once we actually had members and all of those things were out of the way, it was really quite simple and something that will be easily sustainable and would be very easy for any other parish to replicate.
How important is it to engage the sort of statutory authorities and, you know, the health service and to tap into those the resources that are available outside of the church?
It's incredibly important. We recognise that people need to be involved within the wider community, not just their faith community, and that we should be looking at acceptance of people within the wider community as well. So we're not there to take away from the traditional mental health services. We're there to complement the traditional mental health services and offer support around the more spiritual, religious aspects of somebody's life, perhaps not doing the other things like advising about medication or offering therapy, because that's not what we're there for. So it's incredibly important that our members still tap into those services to really aid their longer term recovery. In addition to that, it's not just sort of health services that we'd be looking at encouraging our members to tap into, but we also encourage them to tap into other community groups, which again may be separate from the church or they may not be. So there are other church groups that we may encourage people to become a part of, so as that their contact within the church community is increased, but also we may look for other opportunities within a local community for them to become involved in. So I spoke earlier about the allotment that we have contact with. That's a really good opportunity for people to get out, to meet new people and to do something a bit different.
Now, you've committed over 12 years and obviously with your family background, you've had a wealth of experience of mental health. Tell me a little bit about your personal view on the taboos and, you know, what could happen for society as a whole that would improve life for people with mental health difficulties.
We need more acceptance. We need to break down the stigma that is still attached to mental illness, even today. I think that has improved recently. We've had a real push forward with trying to break down the barriers associated with mental health, both in the faith communities, but also nationally with things like the Times Change Project and what have you. But that's only taken us part of the way. I think it's going to be a real ongoing process to be breaking down those barriers, because I think people are afraid of what they don't understand. So what we need to be doing is offering education, offering support, being that good role model for people so they can see that actually people with mental illness are just people who happen to have a mental illness and aren't necessarily what they're made up to be in some of the media reports.
And let's be honest, could happen to any of us.
Yeah, absolutely. Could happen to any of us.
Looking at World Mental Health Day, where the focus is pastoral, and it's also focusing somewhat on the elderly, it's easy to make that fairly stereotypical jump to dementia, and there are many other situations of mental ill health that people can suffer from. But with maybe an elderly demographic in our churches, this is a key issue, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. And statistically, I think the statistics at the moment are that one in three will have some sort of dementia-related illness later on in life over the age of 65. And that's because of things like the ageing population, which is due to advances in medical sciences. But what that means is that we'll be seeing a lot more people that experience mental health difficulties, whether it be dementia or whether it be anxiety and depression because of the loss of loved ones or the loss of their physical health and grieving in association with that. So it is something that we need to be really mindful of and be able to support the growing older population.
And finally, Jo, what can we in our parishes in England and Wales do to improve the lives, or at least improve it a little bit for those that are suffering with mental health problems?
The first thing that we need to be doing is treating those with mental health difficulties with respect and compassion, smiling at them at Mass, saying good morning at Mass or good evening at Mass, making them feel like they're a part of our community instead of feeling like outcasts, instead of feeling like they're not included in anything that's going on. In addition to that, the other things that we could be doing is further projects such as the St. Dinfna Group could be set up incredibly easily across other parishes, in other parishes across the country, that would enable additional support for those with mental health difficulties. And I suppose really that's what I'd like to be seeing in the future.